We are still in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Bet, chapter 22. But getting towards the end, I believe next week we'll actually wrap up the chapter. We're on, unfortunately, this very grim part in which Shaul and Doeg team up to eradicate the city of Nob. This is it. It's been building for us for a long time because we started the story back in chapter 21 when David got assistance there. Moved through chapter 22, Shaul hears that David is gaining strength. Doeg reports on the help that David received in Nob, and Shaul does his, call it an investigation if you like, his questioning of Ahimelech, and Shaul orders that Ahimelech, the Kohen Gadol, and his family should be killed. The people do not want to carry it out, the people he orders to do it, whether those are anonymous members of the king's court, whether it's Abner and Amasa, as we saw in Midrash last week. And so he turns to Doeg, which we said makes sense, in the sense that we have a concept in the Torah of the witnesses being the ones to carry out the punishment of the guilty defendant. So he says to Doeg, no, you do it. We noted that the text actually altered his name. In the Ketiv, in the written version, it was Doeg instead of Doeg, and we gave a few different explanations for it, but the most important point was what we finished off with, which is that when you read sentence 19, chapter 22, sentence 19, we are told he didn't just kill Ahimelech, he didn't just kill Ahimelech's family, but he kills out everybody. Men, women, children, animals. He destroys everything. And we left off asking, what in the world is this about? Why is Doeg doing this? And our first answer, which we gave last week, was that this is Doeg's initiative. He chose to do it. This was not what Shaul wanted. Doeg did it on his own. And we said that could fit his role regarding David, meaning viewing him as the Esav side, the flip side of the David Yaakov side of the coin. His side of the coin is the Esav side of the coin, and so he exceeds what he's supposed to do. We quoted the Malbim as well as the Barbanel. That was one possibility. Another possibility was that he's doing it in order to again demonstrate his loyalty to Shaul, to show that he isn't a traitor. So those were the ideas that we saw last time, but there's another way to look at this, which is to suggest that this was actually Shaul's order. This was not Doeg's innovation. Shaul meant to wipe out everybody. And if you take a look at source number one on the sheet, you see Don Isaac Abarbanel proposing this idea. And I started on it last time and then realized I was racing too much in trying to get through it. This takes a little bit of patience. So before we read the source, I need to explain something. Much later on, in Shmuel Bet, long after Shaul is dead, after David is on the throne, David is going to be approached by people named the Giv'onim. That's how they are identified. And they are very angry at the house of Shaul. They claim that Shaul massacred Giv'onim, Gibeonites. And they want that Shaul's descendants should actually be punished for it, should be killed for it. And that's a story that we're going to have to get to eventually. But the Medrash says that Shaul killed the Giv'onim when? Well, actually, take a look. Take a look at source number two before we see source number one. It's a Gemara in Yevamos. The Giv'onim charged that Shaul killed them. Where in the world do we ever find that Shaul killed Giv'onim? But he killed the city of Kohanim, Nov. They used to provide water and food for the Giv'onim. So therefore, male alav akasuv ki ilu hargan. It's as though he killed them because he destroyed their supply. Now, what in the world is that about? So in order to know why the city of Nob would have been supporting the Giv'onim, you have to go all the way back to Yehoshua, chapters 8 and 9, or 9 and 10. The anybody remember the story of the Givonim from Yehoshua? No? Okay.
So yeah, Shua's the fortress.
Yes, those are they. Those are the Givonim. The Givonim were actually called the Chivi. They're Chivites, a Canaanite tribe. They were of the tribes who had received Yehoshua's call for peace before the Jews crossed the Jordan River and had declined, "We're not interested in peace. You come here, we'll fight you." Then they saw what it meant to fight the Jews. They saw the destruction of the city of Jericho. They saw the destruction of Ai. They saw the initial wars in which Yehoshua and the Jews are succeeding, and they thought better of their response. Maybe it wasn't so smart for us to deny Yehoshua's offer of peace. And so, they played a trick. They sent a delegation to Yehoshua of members of their tribe, and they said, "We are from far away. We are not those people you're supposed to fight with. We're not those people who rejected your calls for peace. We're from far away. We want to make a pact of non-aggression with you." And Yehoshua says, "Great." And he makes a deal with them. And then he finds out they're actually next door neighbors. These are the people who are called the Chivi. They're also called the Givonim from Gibeah. And when Yehoshua finds out that they're actually next door neighbors, he says, "We have to keep the treaty that we made. We can't break the treaty. We cannot become known as people who don't keep our word. We swore that we were going to be non-aggressive. We'll be non-aggressive. However, we're going to demand of them that they become water drawers and wood choppers for the house of God. They become supporters of the Mishkan in order to remain." So who's going to support them? The Kohanim are going to support them. And that's what our Gemara is saying in source number 2, is that the city of Nov had been supporting the Givonim. When you destroy Nov, you also destroy Givon. You follow? Yes, Ricky.
Sorry, Rabbi, is the source sheet from the email the right one, the wrong one?
Okay. I must have forgotten to upload
this
it.
The one attached said week 112.
Yeah, no, you should have week 113. Oh, hang on, I'm going to put it in the chat.
Thank you.
Sure, thanks for calling my attention to it. Let's see. Oh, this is going to be fun, because every time somebody
How
joins...
Do we get it on
there? Hang on 1 second, I haven't put it in the chat yet. Hold on. Okay, so I just put it in the chat. Susan, do you have chat option on your iPad? So, did you see it come up?
I have where is Susan? But right. Wait, no, it hasn't come up on mine.
Hasn't come up on yours. Interesting. Some people have it, some people don't. Okay, so what I'm going to do is simply share screen with it. That's all. I'll have to go with the share screen method. I don't like it, but I don't really see a better choice. So
you should send it to us later, again, or something after the class, so we have it?
Maybe. Yeah, that sounds reasonable. Let's just open it on here. Hang on a second. Okay, so I have now opened it here, and I will be able to share the screen with it. It should become visible for you in a moment. Okay?
Yeah.
So, source number 2 is the Gemara in Yevamos that I read to you, which says that Shaul is guilty of killing the city of Nov and thereby ending the life of the Givonim as well. Okay, you see that? Okay, so all of this I bring to you because it's necessary in order to understand the point that Don Isaac Abarbanel makes in source number 1, in explaining that Shaul means for Doeg to actually wipe out everybody. So if you take a look at source number one now, Abarbanel writes, "V'hanachon hu, what appears to be correct, is Shaul chashav shayu ha-kohanim ha'ela mizera beis eli. Shaul thought, these kohanim are from the descendants of the house of Eli. V'shalachin chat'u bidvar David v'yosam ra'im v'chateim ha'shem me'od. He thought they sinned at David's word because they were bad people. He thought that they were following David's instructions because they're from the house of Eli. The house of Eli are bad people. That's, you know, these are rebels. Remember, the people of Noph, the Kohanim that we read. You see the opening line? These Kohanim. That's what we're talking about. Shaul thought that the Kohanim of the house of Noph, I should say, they're descendants of Eli. They are rebels. And therefore, these people are following David. Shaul thinks these are the bad guys. V'shalachin hayame hatzedek sheyamusu kulam. Achrei heyosam kulalim mipi Hashem. He thought all of them should die. These are people who are cursed by God, going back to the house of Eli, in the original curse on the household. These are bad people, he believes. That's what Shaul is thinking. Not only that, it's not only the Kohanim. It's Givon also. Abarbanel, unlike the Gemara that we saw in source number two, Abarbanel argues that Shaul had Givon killed directly. V'shegam ha-Givonim asher hayu b'Nov. The people of Givon who were in Nov, he'erimu negdo, that they had plotted against him, against Shaul. Kasher asu al Yehoshua, as they had done to Yehoshua. V'lachein tziva lahargam kulam yachad. So he said, kill them all. V'tziva sheachrimu kol asher lahem. He commanded that they destroy everything that the Givonim had. L'fi shalo yachshav adam L'fi shalo yachshav adam sha'asa zeh sha'ul l'shlol shlalam. Because he's worried. People are going to think that he did this in order to loot their property. So Shaul says, get rid of everything. Get rid of Nov, these horrible, wicked people. Get rid of Givon, who are also wicked people. They're deceitful people. And get rid of the property so that it's very clear that I'm not doing this in order to enrich myself. That's the idea. Hang on one second, Effie. So the read that Abarbanel brings is that this is Shaul's command. He believes they're all rotten, and that's his reason for doing this. We're going to come back more to Shaul and his identity here. There's more to be said about this, but that's the idea. Okay, Epi.
I just want to bring to everyone's attention that what you just read, which is paragraph 1 in week 113, is paragraph 15 in week 112.
That's all right. Thank you. But we're just going to stick with this sheet and it's going to be good. Okay. So that's the core idea here. However, as we noted last week when we first read this verse 22:19, there's something else going on here, because this verse 22:19 reflects the language used back in chapter 15 regarding the destruction of Amalek. If you flip back in your Shmuel to chapter 15, sentence 9, I did the same thing last week. To chapter 15, sentence 3, look at the command that was given to Shaul to wipe out Amalek, right? The language there was to destroy all of them, man, woman, olil, yonek, shor, seg, gamal, chamor. It's the same terminology as in the order to destroy Amalek. And as I noted last week, Rav Bazak points it out, it does have camel in the Amalek passage, not in ours, but that's likely because Amalek had camels, because they were a desert. The Nob is not a desert population. But the question is, what does this mean? Why is Shmuel using the same language to describe the destruction of Nov as was used in the divine command to destroy Amalek. So the Gemara in Yuma sees it as divine commentary. It's a message to the reader about Shaul's actions. And here I'm going to share the source sheet with you once again, so you'll be able to follow along, those who did not download it from the chat. Source number 3, Gemara in Yuma. And yes, at the possible, it's last week's sheet as well. That's okay. Vayarev Banachal. This Gemara is commenting on chapter 15, the war with Amalek. When the war, during the war, the text says, Vayarev Banachal, that he, Shaul, fought against Amalek in the Nachal. And the problem that starts the Medrash going here is that they weren't fighting apparently in a nachal, in a wadi. A nachal is usually a wadi. So what does it mean? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Mani al iske nachal. He says Shaul was fighting with God about the wadi. What are you talking about? And the answer is there is a mitzvah called Egla Arufa. To make a long story short, and if you want to see more about Egla Arufa, read the end of Parshat Shoftim. That's where it's discussed. Egla Arufa is a ritual that is performed in the event that a body is found outside of town. The body of somebody who has been murdered, and we don't know who the murderer is. And there's a whole ritual that is performed in this nachal. The ritual involves what's called Egla Arufa. It's a calf that gets killed. So Shaul invokes that here. Why? Read the Gemara. B'sha sha'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Shaul lech lihikisa es Amalek. When Hashem said to Shaul, go destroy Amalek, Amar, Shaul said, Uma nefesh achas amra Torah havei Egla Arufa. If just one person gets killed, the Torah says, I have to bring this Egla Arufa. There's a whole ritual just because one person got killed. Kol nefashos halalu al achas kama v'kama. How much more so if you're going to have me kill all these people? How in the world could you command that I kill all these people? Vim adam chata. And if you'll tell me that a person sinned, behema machatu. Machata, what did the animals sin? How did the animals sin? You're having me kill the animals? Vim gedolim chatu. And if you're going to tell me the adults sinned. Kitanim machatu. How did children sin? Shaul complains this command to destroy Amalek is immoral. Yatsa bas kol va'amralo. And a voice came out and said to Shaul, a sentence from Koheles, Al pi tzadik harbe. Don't be such a tzadik. Don't be overly righteous. God is the one who decreed Egla Arufa. And God is the one who gave this command. If God said to do it, the answer is it's the right thing. That's at that stage. Don't be so righteous, Shaul. U'b'sha sha'amar lo Shaul l'do'eg. And when Shaul said to Do'eg, Sov ata u'pega b'kohanim, I want you to circulate and strike the Kohanim. Yatsa bas kol va'amar lo, a voice came out and said, Al tirsha harbe. Also from that same passage in Koheles, don't be too overly wicked. In other words, what the Gemara is claiming is that Shmuel uses the same language to describe what Shaul did here as a message to the reader about Shaul's deeds. To say that he was really merciful when it came to Amalek and he wouldn't do it then, and he was just fine doing it to the city of Nov. There's a medrash in Koheles Rabbah, in source number 4, that goes even further. Susan, I saw you shake your head. We'll get to your question. I'm not ready for it yet. Take a look first at source number 4. I bring it to you because it brings a line which people like to quote a lot. So I thought it's good for you to see the source. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, also known as Reish Lakish, Omer, he said, Kol mi shenasa rachman bimekom achzari, sof shenasa achzari bimekom rachman. Anyone who becomes merciful in the place of the cruel will in the end become cruel in the place of the merciful. Misplaced mercy is cruelty, in other words. And they give as the example of somebody who was cruel when he should have been merciful, Shaul in destroying Nov. He's willing to spare Amalek, and yet he's not willing to spare Nov. And then they go on with another example when they talk about, and this is important also for our discussion, the sages said, Rabbanan Amrin, Komisha Nasa Rachman Bimekom Achzari, somebody who is merciful in the place of the cruel, so shemidas hadin pogaas bo. He will be struck by divine justice. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, vayamas Shaul ushloshes banav. Shaul and his three sons die as punishment for what happened in Nov. By the way, I'm just going to pause the sharing here. Along with this, very worth noting that we saw Medrash back in chapter 15 that said that Doeg was the one who convinced Shaul not to kill the animals, right, of Amalek. So that would just add a layer to everything that's going on here. Because Doeg was the one who said, don't kill, be merciful with Amalek, and Doeg is the one who incites and then carries out the massacre in Nov. So what you're getting here, putting this all together, is divine commentary. What you're getting is Shmuel prophetically saying that what happened here, and I'm just putting the source sheet in the chat again for those who signed, who joined in after I posted it before. So it's there again, the correct source sheet. What you're seeing here is a statement that, yes, Shaul, who couldn't bear to kill the animals and Agag way back when, has no problem here killing Nov, and this is supposed to teach us lessons about people who are going to decide their own morality. Okay, I'm going to pause here. The next step in our discussion, just so you know, is going to be the liability and fallout from the destruction of Nov. Who's going to get punished for having done this? Susan, you waited very patiently, and then Claudette.
I'm just very perturbed by this whole story.
Oh, good. I would hope so.
But first, they're trying to justify it. Then the last one said they're not justifying it.
Wait, justify what?
What was done in Nov. He gave us
No one is justifying what happened in Nov.
But they were being killed because of what that they had to be punished from way back when, so now we have to kill them.
We have not yet justified it. The only thing the only thing we've seen so far is Shaul's perspective on it. And in his mind, this is just and fair. Because they are bad people, they've been rebels from the beginning, and so on. That's Shaul's mindset. We have not yet seen anything beyond what Shaul is thinking.
Okay, so if we're saying this is Shaul's mindset,
Yep, which we're going to come back to.
Which is not much of a punishment at the end. Like, that he didn't stand as an example to the people. Hey, you don't do that. Him getting killed is not going to give the message to people around him.
I don't know.
You don't do that.
When you see what happened to him when he got killed, read the last chapter of Shmuel Aleph.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just he dies in battle. Read the last chapter of Shmuel Aleph, and it gets a little bit more graphic than that.
So this is a perturbing story.
Good. It should be disturbing to you.
That's upset.
Yeah, this is not... This isn't a good one.
Is justification always right? Like you say, we're going to justify it at the end.
Well, why don't you wait and see? Claudette.
Okay. I've been struggling with the killing of the animals ever since reading what Shu was told by God to do to a melon. And then I come and see it here. But have the rabbis wrote anything on why the animals also?
Yeah. No, back in chapter 15, we had a discussion about this. We talked about specifically God saying, I want to make it very clear that this is not a war like other wars where people conquer land and they take spoils and all that. I want everything destroyed so that it's clear that Amalek, which has established itself over the generations as an enemy of the Jews and an enemy of God, that that's something that absolutely cannot be allowed to continue to exist. So everything is destroyed. You have to keep in mind that in a Tanakh mindset, animals are property. They're not independent sentient beings with feelings. That's just, you see that repeatedly. So that is part of why this happens.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So let's now move into liability and fallout for the destruction of Nov. Who is going to be held responsible to this? For having done this. So multiple parties are held liable for their roles in the destruction of Nov. Liability starts with Eli, right? That we've said all along. It's thanks to Eli that all of this happens, and I think that that's why, and you'll see that momentarily, that's why some give Shaul a pass, because they say, this was decreed from the outset. Take a look at the sheet. I'm now sharing it again. Source number 5, Ralbag, in his lessons that we're supposed to learn from this section, lesson number 34. He says, Ulazel lo matzinu shene'na Shaul baharigas Nov ir ha-Kohanim. Shaul is not punished, he says, for killing out the city of Nov. And obviously the Medrash that we just saw, Kohelet Rabbah, is taking a different view. But Ralbag says, we don't find Shaul getting punished for this. Even though there is no reason for him to do this. And that's why, when we will get a list of Shaul's errors in Tanakh, it's not going to list Nov. And here's a key line. Sandy, I see your hand, but you can lower it because I'm not taking questions yet. He says, this is very important. It didn't mention this along with the other sins of Shaul. Ki Hashem hisitahu bo lekayem yiudo. For Hashem persuaded him to do this to fulfill the destiny of Nov. Not Shaul's destiny, but to fulfill the destiny of Nov. Within this view, the answer is Eli. It's because of Eli to begin with, and because of Chafi and Pinchas, his sons, and it's not about Shaul. That's one explanation for who is liable. Second explanation, I'm going to go through a bunch, so hold questions. If you want, take pen and paper or your computer and write them down. But I want to get through this list. The second view, hold on to your hats for this one, is the city of Nov. Radak. He says, Yesh lismoa, we should be surprised. Ki v'chol asher hizkira kasuv avonot Shaul. Even though the text gives us mention of the sins of Shaul, we haven't seen it yet, but we will. Lo ra'inu shehizkir avon Nov ir ha-Kohanim. The city of Nov being destroyed doesn't make the list. Va'afilu kishekera'am beis hadamim, even when the text will call Shaul's house the house of bloodshed regarding the Givonim, lo amar ela ala shehemisis ha-Givonim. It only says that for killing the Givonim, v'lo amar ha-Kohanim. It didn't say because he killed the Kohanim, it only said that he's bloodthirsty for killing the Givonim. V'nira, so Radak says, I have to tell you what I think. Ki chayavim hayu ha-Kohanim. There must have been some sin that they performed, otherwise God wouldn't have done this. He wouldn't have let Shaul do this. V'lo nigla b'kasuv avonam zulasi avon beis Eli. And we will never know what it was that the people of Nob had done, but we only are told about Shaul. So writes Radak. He says, it's gotta be. So that's your second school. First school of thought, this is all playing out what started with Chofni and Pinchas and the abuse of the Mishkan. Second school of thought, this is actually about Nov themselves. They had sinned. Third school of thought is Doeg. Doeg is the one who is to blame. He's the one God will hold responsible, and he is the one who David will hold responsible. You remember, we saw it already last time, that David writes Tehillim Nun Beis, the 52nd chapter of Psalms, and blames Doeg for the destruction of the city of Nob. Take a look at this Gemara in Sanhedrin. It also appears there in a couple other places with additional pieces. I didn't even bring you the whole thing. But this is based on a series of verses. Well, the primary verse really is Psalms chapter 52, sentence 7. Ve'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Mai dichsiv." What is the meaning of the verse in Eov, in Job? Chayil bala vayikienu mibitno yorishenu kale. The verse says, he swallowed chayil, which we are going to read here as wealth. Vayikienu mibitno, he vomited it out. Yorishenu kale. Hashem will remove it from, or mibitno yorishenu kale, Hashem will remove it from his stomach. What in the world does that mean? So it's a reference, says the Gemara, to David and Doeg. Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David said before God, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Yamus Doeg. Doeg should die. Amar lo, to which God responded, Chayil bala vayikienu. He swallowed chayil. Chayil not meaning wealth, but chayil meaning Torah, and he will vomit it out. Meaning, when he forgets his Torah knowledge, that's when he will get punished. Amar lefanav mibitno yorishenu kale, to which David responded and said, no, God, take it out of his belly. Cause him to forget his learning. And as the Gemara continues, based on Tehillim Nunbei Zayin, David davens to Hashem to destroy Doeg, this world and the next. Ve'amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Mai dichsiv?" What is the meaning of the pasuk? Gam kel yitatzcha lanetzach. God should cut you down or tear you down forever. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to David, "Nasi doeg la'alma da'asi." Should doeg be entitled to enter olam haba? Should doeg be entitled to the next world? Amar lafanav gam kel yitatzcha lanetzach. To which David said, "No way." He should be destroyed la-netzach, meaning forever. And then the text continues. May dechsiv yachtecha v'yisachacha me'ohel v'shereishcha me'eretz chayim sela. What does it mean when the text continues to say that God will break you and pluck you from your tent and root you out of the land of the living? What in the world is that talking about? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to David, Leimru shmaisa be'medrasha mishmei, should doeg merit that what he teaches should be taught in his name in the study hall? And he said, no. Yachtecha v'yisachacha me'ohel. He should be removed from the tent of Torah. Lehevel ebanin rabbanan, should he have children who will excel in Torah? No, he should be rooted out of the land of the living. No roots of his should exist in the land of the living, meaning Torah. There's much more in the Gemara there. They talk about Doeg getting tzara'as. Right. They talk about Doeg suffering in various ways and being destroyed. One more passage, source number 8, the Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noach. You have a sentence in Tehillim 59. Al tahargein pen yishkechu ami haniemu bechelcha v'horidemo. David says, do not kill them, lest my nation forget. Make them wander with your strength and bring them down. So the Medrash says, Pasuk zeh David amaro keneged Achitofel v'doeg. David said this about Achitofel, Doeg. Achitofel is not our story. Achitofel is the advisor to Avshalom. Deal with him separately. But Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David says before God, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Al tahargein kishar b'nei Adam. Don't kill them like other people. Pen yishkechu nisim sha'asiso imi, because they're going to forget the miracles you performed for me in saving me from them. Ela haniemo bechelcha, rather make them wander with your strength. Sheyiyu mitultalim ba'olam b'horide migdulasan. They should have to wander, they should lose their stature. Kimarubach, because they rebelled against you. And he goes on to talk about how they rebelled specifically verbally, in Doeg's case, his Lashon Hara, about the city of Nov. So within these midrashim, and there are many more, and there's even more than in Sanhedrin than I brought here, Doeg is the one who David holds responsible, and Doeg is the one who God holds responsible. And so that's your third culprit. You've got Eli, you have the people of Nov, and then you have Doeg. But we're not done. We have more. I see someone throwing up their hands already. So I'm going to pause here, even though we have more liability and more blame to see yet. We have three more parties who are actually going to end up, at least two, but I think a third, who are going to end up being blamed for this. But let's pause here for the questions and comments that people have had. Susan.
I'm just confused with how numbers, I wrote source 7.
Yeah.
Shows that what it has to do with the Doeg being responsible for no. I understood the one from source 8.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the one from source 7, the whole story, how that, but they didn't relate it back to no.
It's source number 7 is based on Psalms chapter 52, in which he explicitly refers to Doeg and the destruction of Nov.
So, yeah, but I don't understand how, I didn't understand number 7 at all.
No, but that's what I'm telling you. It's, in other words, did you catch, you weren't able to be here last week, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So, did you catch the recording yet? So,
I just got internet today.
Got it. So I definitely recommend catching that recording, because there we actually looked at chapter 52 in Psalms, and you'll see there the explicit reference to Doeg and the destruction of Nov. And what we're doing here is, in that chapter, David calls for the destruction of Doeg, and we're parsing the words that he used in 52:7. To understand it, what kinds of harm he is summoning upon Doeg. So this whole source number 7, God will tear you down for good, meaning that he shouldn't make it into the next world. God should pluck him from the tent, and that means that what he teaches shall not be studied in the Beit Midrash. The idea that he's being rooted out of the land of the living, meaning that he won't have any descendants.
So he's being punished for what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. That's the idea. Okay, next question here. Janine.
I'm sorry, I hope I didn't miss it. I have to come late today. But why would Shaul, if you say that it was Shaul's fault, why would he be given a pass?
Hang in there. We're not up to Shaul yet. Right now we have only dealt with Eli, Nov, and Doeg. Right, so we haven't gotten to Shaul yet.
But when Paro did something,
Hang in there. Just wait, we're not up to Shaul yet. Anybody with other comments or questions on Eli, on this blaming Nov or blaming Doeg? No? Okay, so let's go further, because we still have to get to three more, the third one being Shaul, of those who are remaining. This is one of those inquests where, like, you end up with a long list of people who are held responsible. That's what we're going to see here. So the next one up to be blamed is actually not from the source sheet, but rather is going to be, he's going to blame himself, and that's David. David is going to be held responsible for what happened in the city of Nov. So we're not saying anything about that right now. Right now I'm just noting for you to put it on your list. But when we learn the end of the chapter, we will talk more about David's responsibility for what happened in Nov. So keep David on your list. We'll come back to him. Next, you have this very interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin in source number 9, which will blame the Jews in entirety for what happened in Nov. And it begins for us in source number 9 with a verse that will be familiar to those who learned Yeshaya with me, or those who know the Haftorah from the end of Pesach. Od hayom b'nov la'amod. This verse is when it is describing an assault by Sanherib. Sanherib is the general of the Assyrians, or the king, I should say, of the Assyrians. And They're the ones who come in and exile the 10 northern tribes. So Sancheirev is described in Yeshaya chapter 10 as leading an assault which goes through various areas in Israel. And when we learned Yeshaya, we had a discussion, which assault was this? Was this the assault on Jerusalem? Was it a different assault? Which direction was he coming from? We did the geography, not doing anything about that right now. But take a look at source number 9, because that passage says, Od Hayom Binov La'amod, he, Sancheirev, will stand in Nov at that point. That's Yeshaya's prophecy. So the Gemara says, isn't it interesting that you chose to mention specifically the city of Nov as the place where Assyria is going to stand? My Oda Yom Benov La'amod. Amar Rav Huna. Oso Hayom Nishtayer Me'avonah Shel Nov. Rav Huna says, that day, the day of Sancheirev's invasion, remains since the sin of Nov, since the destruction of Nov. The loss of the 10 tribes, northern kingdom, Shaul's stronghold, as it happens, is all because of what happened in Nov. That's the idea. So it's really not the Jews as a whole. I guess it's really Yisrael that's going to get it, the 10 tribes. Amri le Kaldoi le Sancheirev. Chaldeans said to Sancheirev. Chaldeans is a term used in the Gemara sometimes to refer to astrologers. They said to Sancheirev, "I'azlis ha'idna yachlisla. If you go now to attack, you will succeed. Ve'ilo lo yachlisla. It has to be today. If you don't attack now, you're not going to win." Orcha debala saguye ba'asara yoma saga b'chad yoma. He took a trip which should have taken him 10 days to invade, and it took him just one day. This was the day when God was going to punish for no. Kimatu Yerushalayim comes to Jerusalem. Shadile bistriki ad desalik biyasev me'ilave shura. He sets up mats and he stands on the mats until he can see over the wall of Jerusalem. Ad dechaziu lekuli Yerushalayim. Until he can see over the wall, he can see all of Jerusalem. Kichazye izuter be'ene. He looks at it and he says, that's a small city. Amar halo dahi karta Yerushalayim da'ala argeshes kol mashir yasi va'ala kaveshes kol medinta. He says, what, that's Jerusalem? For that I made all my troops come? For that I conquered all these places? Halo izi'ir v'chalasha mikol krachay ha'amaya dekavshis v'tkov yidi. He says, it's smaller and weaker than all the cities of the nations that I've already conquered. This is a nothing city. I don't know what everybody's so panicked about. Allah v'kamu meinid b'reisha, he shook his head. Mobil u'maisi b'yadei al-tur beis mikdasha de'bitziyon v'al azrasa de'bushalayim. He waved his hand over the mountain and the Beis Hamikdash, the temple. Amri nishti beyada ha'idna, and his troops said, no, let's attack, let's do it right now. We should attack now. Amar lahu tamhisu, he says, you're tired, my troops. Lamachar aisi li kochad v'chad minaychu gulmo hareg, tomorrow let everybody come and you'll all bring a piece of that wall. We'll tear it down tomorrow. Miyad, the next thing that happens is Vayhi Balayla Hahu, it was that night, and a Malach comes out and strikes the camp of Sancheirev, 185,000, and the next day they're all dead. Amr of Papa, Hainu Damri Inchi Bas Dina Bat Al Dina. And her Papa says, you see that? The verdict waits, the verdict is cancelled. So they were supposed to be punished, not just the 10 tribes, but even Jerusalem for what had happened in Nov, but Jerusalem ends up being spared because Sancheirev got lazy. My point is not to bring a whole discussion about this story in Yeshaya. For that, you can go back to the recordings online of the Yeshaya classes. My point in bringing it is simply to show you that this is being painted as the sin of the nation being visited upon the nation when the 10 northern tribes get exiled. But now let's get to the main part, because David we're not ready to discuss until the end of the chapter in terms of his liability. Liability of the nation is a very interesting medrash, a little hard to grasp, but okay. But let's talk about Shaul. Is Shaul going to be held liable for this? And the answer is, it's a debate. I know, that's shocking. You have, on the one hand, the Gemara that we saw that supports the view that Shaul is punished, right? You remember the Gemara that we saw last week. Those of you who have last week's source sheet, you can see it there. We saw in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet 104, in which we said that that because Yonatan did not give food to David, right? You remember that? We said because Yonatan did not give food to David, therefore David needed to seek food in Nov, and therefore Shaul and his sons were killed. Implying that, or not just implying, but saying really clearly that, Shaul and his sons are killed because of what they did to Nov. If David had not needed to seek help in Nov, Shaul and his sons would have lived. So that Gemara is clearly saying that he is punished. Just like the Medrash that we saw in Koheles Rabbah, which was source number 4, which said as well that Shaul and his three sons died as a result of what happened in Nov. We have a couple of other places. There's a Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, which I quoted for you years ago. I'm glad I keep my old files. I'm going to share screen again. But if you have the source sheet... Oh, wait, did I not bring it on there? No, I did. It's there. It's sources 10 and 11. Okay. You have to see source 10 first. Source 10 is a passage in Divrei Hayamim. You remember how in a couple of the sources we saw them say that when Shaul's sins are listed, it doesn't say anything about Nov? Right? We saw a couple of sources say that. So what they're referring to is source number 10 from Divrei Hayamim. Vayishmeu kol Yavesh Gilad eskal asher asu plishtim l'Shaul. The people of Yavesh Gilad heard what the plishtim had done to Shaul, not only killing him, but mutilating his body in that passage that I told Susan to look up at the end of Shmuel Aleph. Vayakumu kol ish chayil. Vayisu es gufat Shaul ves gufos banav. They bring back the bodies of Shaul and his sons, and they bring them to Yavesh, and they bury them, and they fast for 7 days. And then we're told, Vayamas Shaul. Shaul died b'ma'alo, because of his trespass. Asher ma'al b'Hashem, that he had trespassed against God. Al devar Hashem, against the word of God. Asher lo shamar, which he didn't keep. V'gam lish'ol ba'ov lidrosh, and he went to ask advice from an ov, the sorcerer. V'lo darash b'Hashem, he did not seek God. Vayimiseyu, and God killed him. Vayasevis hamalucha le David ben Yishai, and he turned the monarchy instead to David, son of Yishai. Reading that passage in source number 10, this passage from Divrei Hayamim, what is the sin that causes God to leave Shaul and for Shaul to ultimately die? What is the sin?
Going to the sorcerer.
Right, going to the Ov, going to this necromancer, sorcerer, however we want to translate Ov, right? That's what it seems to be. What's the problem with giving that as the reason for his death?
Because he's already been told he would be punished because of the murder.
That's true. What else? What else is weird here? Shaul has a whole lot of averos. He has the disobedience regarding Amalek. He has bringing the karbanos instead of waiting for Shmuel. He has all the attempts to kill David. Right? Like, why is, you know, inquiring advice of an ov, why is that the sin? So that's a problem. And then add to that the wordiness of it. Just look at my English translation. He died for his trespass, trespassing against God, for the word of God which he didn't keep. And he also asked of an ov to seek. And he did not seek Hashem. And he, like, if you want to say it's because he asked of an ov, it's real easy. You have those middle words. He also asked of an ov. Just make it that. What is all this wordiness? So the Medrash...
He didn't listen to Hashem about what he was supposed to kill, like our brother. And then he goes and he listens to someone who's not supposed to listen to.
So take a look.
Amalek.
Yeah, take a look at source number 11. Because source number 11... does what Ricky is doing, but a little bit more so, which is it breaks down that verse in Divrei Hayamim to read into it other things. Al Chamesh Chata'os Meis Shaul, source number 11. Shaul died for 5 sins. Vayamas Shaul b'ma'alo asher ma'al b'ashem. He died for his trespass against God. Right there, the first one says the Medrash, Al Shaharag Nov Ira Kohanim, Vashachas Al Agag Melech Amalek. His trespass is that he kills Nov, and he spares Agag. Right? That's that pair of inappropriate cruelty, inappropriate mercy. And then, Valdivar Shalosh Shamar Lishmuel. He didn't listen to Shmuel to wait to bring the Karbanos. Shamar Leli Shivas Hayamim Tochil Aboi Yelecha Velo Asakein. He was told to wait 7 days, and he didn't do it. Vigam Lishol Ba'ov Lidro Shesha Ba'ov. And he also inquired of an ov, which is indeed prohibited. Velo Darash Hashem Bashem Vayimisayo. And he didn't seek God. This is talking about in the war with the Philistines, with the Plishtim, when he was supposed to inquire of the Urim Vitumim, of the Kohen, and he didn't. He said to the Kohen, you know what, let's not inquire, let's just go to war. But the point for which I bring this is, the Medrash reads into the text that he does get punished for what happened in Nov. And I add one last element to that in source number 12 from Rabbi Yosef Albo. Some of you recently learned about Rabbi Yosef Albo with me in my Wednesday morning shiur. Where Rabbi Yosef Albo says, regarding Shaul's traits versus David's traits, Ukshenechapes midos Shaul, when we investigate Shaul's traits, Nimsa oso chaser bikulan, we find he was lacking in all of them. Ulam barishona, shechamal al agag, first, he had mercy on Agag, .. Vaya achzari alamo, and he was cruel upon his own nation. He has Nov, Ira, Kohanim, he calleth the Cheret. He killed out the people of Nov. V'David behetach, and David was the opposite. So, your first side is indeed to say, Shaul is held responsible, he may lose the throne for it, he certainly dies for it, and suffers all that surrounds his death. In that parak at the end of Shmuel Aleph, and this is one school of thought, but you already know, because we already saw sources above that said this, we saw Ralbag say it, we saw Radak say it, that Shaul is not held responsible. They disagree and say absolutely not. After all, we just saw the verses in Divrei Hayamim, right, in Chronicles, which the Medrash reads in multiple sins, but at the end of the day, the text did not choose to say that he's getting punished for what he did to Noah. Not only that, jump forward in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 28, sentence 18. In chapter 28, sentence 18, this is when Shaul goes inquiring of the Ov, and Shmuel's ghost comes and gives him a message. Take a look at sentence 18, at what Shmuel says to him. He says, Kasher lo shamata bekol Hashem, as you did not listen to God's voice. Velo asisa charona po ba'amalek, and you did not carry out his wrath against Amalek. Al kein ha-davar hazeh asalcha Hashem hayom hazeh. This is why God has done this to you, turning you over to the Plishtim. It doesn't say anything about Nov at all. It doesn't say. So, it's hard to say that he's being punished when the texts that actually describe his guilt don't mention Nov. Not only that, but we talked about Givon in the beginning of this shiur, and we said that Shaul's descendants are going to die because of the death of the people of Givon. It didn't say anything about them dying because of the death of the Kohanim and Nov. No one mentions that at all. If you want to see that, by the way, it's Shmuel Bet, chapter 21. And not only that, we have an explicit Gemara that says that Shaul is not going to be held liable. Take a look, please, at source number 14, Gemara in Yuma, or Yoma. Same discussion that we've already quoted earlier, source number 14. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, how insensitive people are. They don't even recognize when God is helping them. Shaul be'achas ve'al salo. Shaul sinned once, and he got zapped for it. David b'shtayim v'lo al salo. David sinned twice and didn't lose the throne for that. Shaul ba'achas ma'ihi. What is the one event with Shaul? Maisa de Agag. The event with Agag. The fact that he spared Agag. And look at that. He lost the throne. So says this Gemara. To which the Gemara says, Vaha'ika Masa de Novi Rakoanim. What about Nov? What do you mean he sinned once? What about killing of city of Kohanim, huh? And their answer is, yeah, but Amasa de Agag Sivni Chamtikim Lachti Shaul HaMelech. He lost the throne because of Amalek. He didn't lose the throne because of Nov. The Gemara makes it sound like Nov is not really the cause, which leads us to ask the big question, which is, I'm going to stop sharing the screen, why is it within this camp that Shaul is going to be spared? What in the world is this about? So I'll tell you what I would say. Number one, other people were involved as causes here. Doeg is involved as a cause, obviously. Eli is involved as a cause, obviously. That's number one. Number two, you go back to Ralbag earlier, who said Hashem drew Shaul into this in order to make this happen to Nov. Hashem wants the demolition of Nov, and he draws Shaul into this, which leads us back to Janine's question before. Yeah, but Paro gets zapped. The difference may be that Paro is not punished for anything that happens after he loses his free will, meaning those commentators who take the view that he loses his free will also stress. Ramban writes this explicitly. It's either Ramban or Rambam. I forget which. I think it's Ramban. Writes explicitly that Paro is not punished for anything that happens once his free will is lost, only for that which comes before it. So you do have that. But I think the answer may be a third point. Yes, it's true other people are involved. Yes, it's true that Hashem is making this happen. But I think there's another factor here. And I sort of hinted at it in the beginning of the shiur today. Shaul is acting at this point for self-preservation. Things have changed for Shaul. If you look back, and I see it's 2:28, so we're not going to do this in depth. Maybe we'll come back beginning next time. So I'll just tell you the idea now, and then we'll come back to it next time. Just look at the beginning of our chapter, and that Shaul's tone of voice when he speaks here about David. Chapter 22, sentences 7-9. Shaul heard about David, that David is becoming well known, that he has followers and all of that. And he is sitting in Gibbeth underneath this eshel, which we talked about. He's got his spear in his hand because he never lets go, right? That spear is always there. And he's got all his servants standing around him because he's afraid. And he says to his avadim, he says to his servants, listen up, people of Binyamin. Is Ben Yishai bribing you? None of you have told me anything about what's going on. None of you is scared for me. None of you feel sick for me. He's panicked, Shaul. He believes that he is saving his life from David. This is no longer about power. This is about fear. And even though what he does is so awful and so brutal and so unacceptable and nowhere on the spectrum of legitimate behavior, I wonder if it's as simple as saying, due to Ruach Ra'ah perhaps, this spirit that has overtaken him, he's not in his right mind. And that's why he's spared. I suspect that that's the answer, and that may even be what Ralbag means when he says that Hashem pushed him into this. That may be what Ralbag means here as well. But we're going to come back to it next week, so I want to walk you through the psukim themselves, which take us step by step in Shaul's decline. He didn't start this way. He changed. I gave you a reference. If you take a look at source number 15, you'll see. From chapters 18 to 20, Shaul is one man, and then from chapters 22 and onward, he becomes a different person. So we'll have to see that. God willing, I will send out the source sheet. I'm sorry for the problem that we had with it. I know why it happened, but it's too late to do anything about that. But yeah, you'll have the source sheet. So thank you very much, and we'll continue, God willing, next week, and we will complete this chapter and move on to Perek Chaf Gimel. Okay?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you.